you want to be hardcore, you want to be extreme. Well, if you're like the Sandman, then you're listening to the podcast Drunk Wrestling History, dudes. And please be drunk when you hear it.
We've got Bush.
I like to fuck. Do you like to fuck?
It's just money shots, chairs all over there.
Those guys with Bang Bus think they're a good deal.
My dick is small.
Oh, no good.
Boy, what's up, Drunk Marks and Drunk Marquettes? Welcome to Ringside Refills, the diet version of Drunk Wrestling History. I'm your designated host, Adam. Woo! And they're the Drunk Wrestling Historians.
This is Eddie. I intend to get properly fucked up if no one disagrees.
And this is Scott. For those about to drink, we salute you.
My woo was more Ric Flair-like. I messed it up, my bad.
I always forget that we changed the name to Ringside Refills after that AI thing.
Adam, you'll be happy to know I switched it up on drink number two because this is the second of two recordings we're doing. This is not Black Barrel Jameson, my friend. This is your Glenn. Eddie, correct me how pronounced.
I think it's Glenfiddich.
Glenviette.
Oh.
Glenviette.
Oh, Glenlivette. Glenlivette.
Yes. That is,
I think,
in
that's
this
how
glass.
I think that's how it's. I've never had that. I think that's how it's.
Awesome.
Pronounced.
So this one was my birthday present from Adam. So I want to say, Adam, thank you and cheers, my friends.
Actually, before we go any further, Scott, would you like to describe to the fine listeners how it was packaged?
No.
Oh, was that the dick present?
It was. Yeah.
I saw the pictures on Shannon's story, and I never even asked what the dick was. So it wasn't a dick present.
What? No, it was wrapped
for a dick
to look like. Nice. Adam is so thoughtful. Honestly, if you ever get the chance to meet Adam, he is just the nicest, the sweetest guy, honestly. And he showed up to my 50th with the kindest gift for me because he knows I'm a drinker. Obviously, we've been doing the show for over 4 years now. So he brought alcohol, as a good friend does. And he gave me, wrapped individually, two buzz balls. In the middle of those two buzz balls was wrapped in a box the bottle of Glenlivette,
I think.
And then a shape on top of it to look like a peen. So my birthday gift walking through the door with Adam was a dick and balls. And it was incredible. The buzz balls are still in the fridge. I'm not super brave enough to tackle those yet, Adam. Just so you know, I'm not a big buzzball guy. I will tackle them.
I think it was mentioned like one of those three flavors was the good one, whatever it is.
But yeah, there's like a red, a white, and then another color. And I'm like,
I think a green one.
The green's good, dude. The green's good.
I can guarantee that there's going to be an episode of Drunk Wrestling History coming up where any of those are going to fit the drink of choice for that episode. Right. I know that it's coming, but buzz balls are just, they're a party, dude. And I'm like, if we have a Marty Jannetty episode two, I'll probably slam all three of them right at the jump and be like, let's go. Like, buzz balls are no fucking joke, dude. I fight with those things, but we do a Marty episode two. Yeah.
He gave you another present too, right?
Also packaged with said dick gift was another very thoughtful gift outside of the thoughtful birthday card that Adam got me. And they were get your dick hard pills, specifically the brand Rhino. Two blue pills, magical, I hope. I have not tried them yet, but Adam, you will be happy to know I have an anniversary coming up at the end of this month. We're going to be going away for a weekend. Those two blue pills are coming with me. If I sprout a 15th finger or I grow a fucking tail out of my ass. If it does anything outside of getting my dick hard, dude, I'm coming after you. On my third leg. And I'll run fast, goddammit.
Totally.
You have to report back.
Yeah.
Totally.
Let me know because I signed up for the FAP for 50 again. And you know.
Like, yeah, you might want to invest.
I might be able to bang out 4 or 5 in a day.
You're gonna break the sample cup.
Hydrate, my friend, hydrate.
I mean, I'm 100% okay if you don't touch those pills. That's like the best.
I'm not.
What, $5 gag at your local convenience store?
No, dude, you have no idea. Like, I'm looking forward to this.
Oh my God.
It's like a challenge. Like, I want to see because, okay, this is going back a little bit and we're totally fucking off topic here. Remember when they used to have ads for those fake Viagra pills?
Yeah.
I was like, fuck it. What's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to try some of these things, right? Dude, I took 2. I swear to God, within an hour, I was seeing blue.
Oh, shit.
My eyesight was tinged blue. That's not a lie, dude. I swear to God, it was tinged blue. And I'm like,
wait, ordered from one of those or?
Yeah, ordered. Not this was two? This was like back in like the mid 2000s, like late 2000s. I was like, I'm just going to try it.
Okay.
Yep. I tried them out and like it tinged my vision blue. And I'm like, I'm not fucking with these things anymore. But you know what? I'm 50 now. I don't give a fuck. Like, how much time do I have left anyway? I'm going to try the rhino pills and see what happens. Worst case, I grow a horn out of my fucking head and I'm a rhino. Like, what do I care?
It'll be awesome. A dude I used to work with one time gave me an actual Viagra. This is like 16, 17 years ago. And I took it, but I was hammered. I ended up throwing up and passing out like 20 minutes later.
You threw up your pill.
I threw up the pill. Yeah, I threw up because of the pill.
Did you wake up with a boner?
No. Fuck no. No, I woke up with a hangover. I woke up with a hangover an hour drive home from Santa Cruz. It was terrible.
Well, I will report
back. Did you wake up to pictures of the rest of the people at the party playing ring toss?
I don't want to talk about what I woke up to. I don't want to talk about what I woke up to, but Scott can guess based on the timeline.
Oh. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's disgusting and I don't like it.
Couple other I was going to read the countries that we got downloads in, but I'm going to skip that because we're already 7 minutes into this. I will just put over Sweden. We got a lot of downloads in Sweden recently. Like, I don't know if one dude's binging us or one dude found us and told some friends, but thank you, Sweden. We also got 2 downloads in parts unknown.
Tobias,
Daryl bought a fucking shirt.
Thank you, Daryl.
Sweet. Yeah, I don't know what his Twitter name is. I would put over his Twitter name, but I don't know because you know it's not their Twitter name when it comes up on your What a Maneuver account. But
Daryl, if you're listening to this, hit us up.
Daryl's getting some pussy.
We should send him the rhino in case it gets him laid. I wonder if we could get a deal going on with Rhino and What a Maneuver and have him just send a packet of Rhino with the shirt. That'd be hilarious.
It's like, in case of emergency, break vial on the front of the shirt. Like, they come packaged on the shirt.
I also just want to put over our buddies at the Work the Arm podcast. I've been checking that out. It's a really cool show. So if you guys haven't heard it, make sure to check that one out. And the last couple little things before we really get going is we lost a couple people recently. And the first one is, well, we're going to do some shots tonight.
Yeah.
Scott and I talked about this beforehand. So you're doing shots of Glenlivet. I didn't want to do shots of anything too serious because I'm coming off of a cold. I already had a beer. So I start going through the liquor cabinet trying to find something. And I was thinking limoncello, but that's actually like 30%. I was like, I'm doing
at least
it
tastes good going down.
It is hella good. Yeah. I just put it on ice cause I didn't want to be over here pouring shots of, something sticky and make a mess.
Right.
So I'm doing shots of Kahlua cause it was the lowest proof thing I could find.
Fuck it. Why not? Yeah. I love Kahlua.
Yeah. So first one is for the great Virgil who just passed, I guess. Well, by the time you guys hear this, it's been a couple weeks.
It's been weeks.
But, man, I hope they put that motherfucker in the Hall of Fame this year. I don't think they will because they seem to be going WrestleMania 1 heavy. But yeah. I've said for years, the dude deserves it. He was right in the middle of so many cool angles in the late 80s, early 90s. One of the highlights of was that 91, SummerSlam 91, when he won the million dollar title.
Yep.
Was that 92, 91?
It was 91.
Yeah, that dude was over, brother. I mean, that was one of the biggest pops of the whole night. The fans loved him. They got behind him huge.
Yeah.
And he didn't even do any moves. He just punched people.
That was all he needed. That was all he needed. And I would not call him necessarily like a friend of the show, mm-hmm. but I always like to consider him a friend of the show. I'm glad we got our Virgil tribute episode out there a long time ago and gave the man his due. And he shouted it out. Yeah. And he
followed us on Twitter. We love
Virgil around here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't tag him or anything.
He must have been like vanity searching himself and came across a tweet and he followed us. So that was great. That was the first wrestler. Virgil and Blue Meanie follow us. But Virgil was the first. He's the OG. And Virgil was, you know, my first funny wrestling encounter with the dude when he was trying to sell me an autograph and kept talking about Ted's going to be here later and Ted never showed up, you know?
Well, yeah. And he had hit me 2 years previous to that. So he got both of us. God love him, man. Just a true hustler in every sense of the word.
He brought us JC and just an adventure.
So I'm glad you mentioned JC because I got a speak pipe from JC. This is funny, dude. I forget what day of the week it was. It was like a Thursday or something. I see an email come in from SpeakPipe and I click it and it's JC. Well, I never listened to him. I don't want to listen to him until I play him on the show. About a minute or two later, I see on Twitter, Virgil died. And I was like, that's what JC's calling about. So I'm going to play this from him. It's a short one, but here we go with JC. It's buffering. I should have done this before.
Yeah, it happens.
Poor planning on my part as usual.
If you don't have technical difficulties, are you really podcasting?
I might have to reload it. I don't know why it doesn't want to. It played. There we go.
So it's 10:20 in the morning, Eastern time here. And I just saw that our man Virgil has passed away at the age of 61. It's early for this shit, but as Virgil guy, I got to toast one for him in remembrance, celebrate the life of one of the all time greats, Carney or not. Virgil, we're going to miss you. Going to have a little meat sauce slammer. This one's for you, buddy. Cheers. Rest in peace, Virgil. We're going to miss you.
Oh, man. He was serious. He really did that.
JC, man, that's a tribute.
Hell yeah.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
I wanted to get him on the
full of love and
I wanted to get him on the show tonight, but I was kind of just not sure what days, and then we ended up switching days, so it just, you know. But go back and listen to the Virgil episode if you haven't heard it, because that was a lot of fun. JC was he told a great fucking story about him. We love Virgil here.
And I hate the phrase give a man his flowers, but I honestly feel like that episode we definitely gave Virgil his props.
We did. We absolutely did. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, we goofed on him like we goof on everybody. I'm about to goof on Sting in a minute. I'm sure. But, you know, yeah, I mean, we honored him the way we do. And a shot of Kahlua going down for Virgil.
To you, Virgil.
Virgil, love you, man.
And then the other one is your dog.
Yeah.
That's fucked, dude.
17 years, man. He was a part German Shepherd. Which, if you're familiar with the German Shepherd breed, they're about 9 to 11 years, and part Chow. And we know that because he had purple spots on his tongue like a Chow. And we actually got him at Walmart back in 2007 in the parking
lot. Sell dogs? Oh, in the parking lot.
Some little girl was holding him. And as you pull up to the red light, you can kind of see like people used to just post up there and like replace windshields, sell Girl Scout cookies. Like it was kind of like a great value swap meet almost. Like people would just post up there and sell shit. Well, we kind of pulled around. We saw this little girl holding a dog and we pull up and we start talking to her and she's like, yeah, he's potty trained. He really has only eaten some ham so far. We kind of fed him ham and, you know, if you want him, he's yours for $20. Kid couldn't have been older than 9 years old. And she's like, $20, he's yours. Awesome. So we go over to the Bank of America ATM.
Is
we
the pull out Virgil.
Virgila was her name. We pull out 20 bucks. We give the kid 20 bucks. And, you know, the next 17 years was just, it was incredible. And, you know, 17 years for a dog that really only should have lived 9 to 11. Yeah, we got six extra years, but it doesn't really feel like it was long enough.
It never. Yeah, it never is.
Yeah. And he was, I always called him a dumbass. I've got video of him running into our sliding glass door that I was lucky enough to catch on our camera. And you can hear me yelling at him through the glass, "You fucking dumbass." And I called him that all the time, but he was honestly the smartest dog I've ever met and loved him to death, but he had a great life and he was well loved and he will be sorely missed. R.I.P. Puffin.
Yeah, and he was a sweetheart, man. Every time I was over there, he was coming up to me wanting pets, you know.
Yeah, he was your best friend.
Dog. Yeah, he was awesome.
My condolences, man. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Adam. Shout
out for Puffin.
Here's to Puffin.
All right, and
I hate to say rule of threes really quick. Was it also Ole Anderson?
Yeah, he and Maurice Vachon are also dead. Let's get into the episode, Adam.
But wait, wait, wait. We got something to announce before we get into the show. We have to talk about Philly.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot. You go ahead.
So we on the Fully Opposable side, Jeff and I, are doing a co-meetup with Drunk Wrestling History. It is going to be at City Tap House in Philly, April 5th, 4 p.m. Be there or miss out on all the amazing giveaways that we're going to have. It's going to be a combination, a Mega Powers handshake of the Fig Life and the drunkards that we are, minus you, Adam. Get to hang out with Jeff, get to hang out with me, get to hang out with Eddie and Adam, the sweetheart that he is. Went into that earlier. It's going to be all of us just the getting wives. Together. Yeah, the wives will be there. Yeah, Carissa and Shannon. You guys are big fans of them because they always.
Oh, now get, the population.
Let me spit
go
in
up.
Your mouth.
They get more downloads than we do, so I think there's going to be a lot of excitement about meeting them. We can talk about the OnlyFans that's forthcoming that Shannon apparently discussed on the show. Anyway, come meet us, come hang out, come have a drink. We're going to have some prizes on the Fully Opposable side, prizes on the Drunk Wrestling History side. We haven't decided the games yet, but you guys can win some shit. So show up, have a drink, say hi, shake a hand, take a picture. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, just let us know because you have the reservation. So don't
give us a heads up. We've got it down for 25, but I think it's going to be way more than that.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And do it soon. Do it soon. Don't fucking.
So adjust the count at the restaurant.
Yeah, just to give them a heads up. Hey guys, it's gone from 25 to 50. So yeah, great point, Adam. We just need to be kind to the venue to not show up with like 50 or 60 people when we book 25.
Right.
So yeah, give us the heads up.
Don't fucking DM us that morning.
Right, because we've got shit going on the entire trip. So yep. You're going to DM us while we're in Philly. We're going to miss it. So hit us up next week or something. Let us know if you're going to be there. We'd love to see you. Like, just come hang out, get a picture. And, you know, the big part of doing this, we sit here and talk to each other. But at a meetup, we get to see who's actually listening to this shit. So come say hi. Come have a drink. Let's hang out. Let's have some fun.
Yeah. And the night before, we're going to Meanie Mania.
We'll be there, too, if you want to come hang out. And that's free admission. Fucking show up and see Blue Meanie and the Drunk Wrestling History crew. It'll be fucking fun.
Yeah, it's at McCusker's Tavern, I think. I think it's Tavern. It's McCusker's. So if you just look it up by that. But it's just a, yeah, it's a.
Just it's a dive
show
bar.
Up when you, it's from like, I don't know. I think he said from like 7 till like 3 a.m. or something like that. So, yeah,
it's
going to
be crazy. Yeah,
we'll be there. And we'll be there late. Well, I'm sure we'll finish our night off. Well, we'll finish off our night with food after we leave, but.
Right.
Yeah, we'll be there.
And rhino pills and pussy. That's kind of the plan.
God willing. God willing.
Let's see what we could do. Like, make one of the Drunk Wrestling History shirts blue. if we can.
Look, Blue World Order's taken, Adam. We're not trying to infringe on gimmicks here.
Yeah.
And they're taking over. 18 and a half minutes into the show. Let's do this shit.
So unlike us.
All right. As of this recording, now 8 days removed from his final match at AEW Revolution. Unlike his Blade Runner partner, he is not racist. And unlike a fellow popular wrestler also billed from Venice Beach, California, he is not racist. Today's episode is a tribute in honor of Steve Borden. Who is that, you might ask? This is Sting.
Nice job, dude.
Shot of Kahlua for Sting.
Yep. So here's our third shot.
Congratulations to Sting. He's not dead.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, hopefully. Long retirement enjoys many adventures. But yeah.
Yeah, one of the all-time great careers and one of the longest careers of all time. I mean, he's like almost in like fucking Gypsy Joe territory at this point.
1986, right? I believe.
Yeah, so he did 38 years. Right? Yeah, he started
before you were off and on. Let's be fair. Off and on.
Okay. I mean, he had his breaks, but I mean, he never was. I mean, I guess he did retire for a bit, but I mean,
when WCW shut down, what was the point of continuing? Right? Like, he was getting paid regardless. So fuck it. Like, stay home and make your money. He didn't come back until he kind of missed it, and that was in TNA. So he did what he wanted to do, and what better way to go out, man?
He was always loyal to the promotion he was on. It was never like...
Absolutely, yes.
It didn't seem like there was animosity towards another platform whenever he was at. Cool that he got to touch up on so many, but it was just cool that there was no animosity. He was just loyal to the craft and able to share wisdom wherever
he was. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he was a guy who was not, he didn't grow up a wrestling fan. He was born in Omaha, but he grew up in Southern California. And he was kind of like Warrior, just became a bodybuilder. And he said that he never even was really, he wasn't even really aware of wrestling. He didn't even know what it was, had never seen it. I read somewhere that he didn't have access to it on TV, but it would have been on local TV in LA. So I don't know
for sure.
He must have just thought he didn't have access to it. You know, he would, or unless he didn't have a fucking TV, you know,
or his buddies weren't talking about it. So he wasn't watching it. So he just, you know, he disregarded it.
Yeah. And Hogan would come into, he was co-owner of a Gold's Gym, which it seems like every bodybuilder at some point was co-owner of a Gold's Gym.
Yeah, Ted RCD was too.
Gold's Gym in the 90s. I don't know about 80s, but...
Oh, 80s, Gold's, yeah,
huge in
sure.
the 80s. It was huge. That was like the first, like the first big one like fitness. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an iconic logo, too.
Planet Fitness today, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said Hogan came into the gym and everybody was freaking out. And he's like, "Who? I don't know who this is." And it was a whole big
thing. Isn't that insane, dude? Like, Hogan's the Babe Ruth of wrestling. And he walks into a place and you don't know who the fuck he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And he said the whole place was freaking out. And
Babe Ruth. Who is she?
Yeah.
How dare you, Adam?
Or Smalls. Smalls. Sorry.
So that got his attention, and he ended up going to a house show and was kind of like, well, fuck, I think I can do this. So he got into wrestling. This,
yeah.
Yeah. And he started out in All California Championship Wrestling, which I had never even heard of until I started looking up, you know, stuff about Sting getting started. Have you ever heard of that?
No, never.
Never.
It had to be, you know, it must have been some indie that someone started after LaBelle sold to Vince, because then they didn't have there wasn't a local territory anymore.
It was California Championship Wrestling, CCW?
All California Championship Wrestling.
Oh, so ACCW.
ACCW, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, awful fucking name.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, me either. It didn't have a
Wikipedia link. Disgusting, and I don't like it.
And that's where he hooked up with Warrior. Like, right away, those two were together. His name was Flash. What was Warrior's name before he was Rock? He was like fucking...
Oh, I was going to say Rock. I know him as Rock.
Yeah, but he had a name before that, I think. It was like fucking, I don't know, Warrior's an idiot. It was probably Stone or something.
Pebble.
Yeah. Boulder. I don't know.
Mountain.
Mountain Cock.
Rock.
That was awesome.
Was that porn?
What? Huh? I went to hit my cough button and I hit a sound effect button that has some like jazz song on it, and it was way too loud. Oh shit! That hurt my ears, dude.
Now entering the arena, Kelly Madison. Hit that music.
it was kind of porny, huh?
It was.
Let me put. Oh yeah.
Actually, you'd hear that on like that Tuesday Night Titans show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was like,
like if somebody was coming out after they were announced as a guest, like, here's Don Morocco.
Yeah, right. Walking
out to that shit.
Sika comes out with a chicken.
Exactly.
But they pretty quickly ended up going to Continental. But they weren't there very long. They were there for like, I don't know, like a half a year or something. Then they went to Mid-South, which was where they kind of, that's when they became the Blade Runners. And Sting changed, they both changed their names. Sting changed to Sting and Warrior changed, I think, to Rock. Or was it Rock? Was that was it fucking stupid
name? I want to say it was Rock.
It was Rock, yeah. Right? It was a dumbass name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is even dumber when there was already the Rock, Don Morocco.
Or Blade Runner Rock.
Yeah.
Blade Runner Rock. The Blade Runners was a stupid ass name too. And that movie was like 4 years old at that point.
Right.
I never really liked that when people take names like that. You know, like a fucking, the Road Warriors I thought was a lame name.
Oh, okay. That's a
topic. I said it. Yeah, show. I said it.
That's a topic for another show. Well, speaking of the Road Warriors, that was always kind of the problem when you'd have two muscled up guys painting their faces.
Right.
The Road Warriors ripoffs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because that's the thing in wrestling, right? You have something tried and true and it works. It's lightning in a bottle. You're going to try to mimic that and repeat the success that the previous had. And that's kind of what you had with the Blade Runners. That's kind of what you had with, sorry, Demolition fans, but Demolition as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But so this is where they really kind of started to first make their name, was over there working for Bill Watts. It wasn't even Mid-South at this point. It was called UWF at that point. This is when Watts was trying to go national to compete with Vince and Crockett.
Yes, which exactly.
Did not turn out well.
Nope.
And they were there for a bit. And I guess Sting was apparently going to win the TV title from Eddie Gilbert. But before it happened is when Crockett bought the territory. He bought Watts out. So and kind of combined the two, just took over the territory.
I believe Sting and Rick Steiner actually won the tag titles in the UWF.
They did. They did. Yeah. 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 And Dusty squashed that plan to have him win the TV title because they were going to unify the TV titles because they both had one, UWF and Crockett.
Both yes. And I believe Terry Taylor came in because we saw a Starcade 87 where Terry Taylor was the TV title holder and Nikita Koloff was the title holder in the NWA.
Right. Yeah. So it was going to be, if Sting had won it, it was going to be for a minute. And Dusty was like, this guy has too much potential. We don't want to make him a transitional champ. So that early on, you're talking 87, Dusty saw that in Sting. He's like, no, this guy's going to be a major player. We want to take our time with him. Don't fuck around. You know, let's not.
God bless you, Dusty. You were 100% on the money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then look what he did, you know, fucking 25, 30 years later in NXT. You know, he was the guy down there figuring out, you know, who was, you know, who was going to do something.
He knew Kevin Owens was going to be huge.
Yeah. 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 I mean, Dusty could pick out a star, you know, that's why he was Booker for all those years.
Yep. Love Dusty.
Yeah. He knew what he was doing. He didn't, he only knew one finish to a match, but he could spot talent.
Everybody's got something.
Yeah. So Sting's debut was Starcade 87 in November. And by March, he ended up wrestling Flair for the title and he went to a 45-minute draw with the champion.
So tell me what other promotion in the late 80s, mid 80s, whatever, would bring in a kid who was still kind of green and within 4 months have him main event a show that was going head to head with WrestleMania against your champion?
Yeah.
Talk about faith in Sting and vision of where he was going to go.
Yeah.
They had it. They fucking knew, dude. They fucking knew.
One, he didn't just go get beat, right? Because Vince would bring guys in and have them work with Hogan quickly, right? That was his whole business model was bringing a new monster heel, have him work with Hogan.
But they would lose. Sting was not fed to Flair.
Right. He went and did a 45-minute draw with him. And the judges couldn't decide who won.
Yes, that was the difference. Yes,
right.
That was the difference. You brought in monsters to be fed to Hogan. Sting was not fed to Flair. Sting was brought in as a compliment to Flair that really matched up well with like the technical versus the power. It told a great story. And I mean, you look at their series of matches, dude, they were incredible.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh yeah. Those were great matches. I've seen several of them. Even that early on, he was like a prodigy. You know what I mean?
Completely.
Yes. Could work. He was a natural. I don't know if I'd say he was a natural athlete. I guess I'd have to ask him or someone who worked with him. But he seemed to
watch
be,
him. You could tell, dude. You know? Like he picked it up so quickly for somebody who had no background in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he picked it up was just interest.
Just work ethic.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Plus, he had one of the most important things in late 80s, mid 80s wrestling. He had the look.
Yes.
He had the build. He had the haircut. He had the face paint. He looked like an action figure, and kids went fucking batshit crazy for Sting, dude.
Yeah, the kids, neon tights.
Yes.
Yeah, the flat top. Yeah.
Everything about him was that period of time, and he encapsulated it. It was lightning in a bottle. Sting was just the perfect guy for the perfect time.
Yeah, he really was. Yeah, he was awesome. And I mean, already, so this is 87, compare him to Warrior. You know what I mean? Which I don't want to turn this into a shit on Warrior episode, which that'd be a fun episode. But, you know,
we already always did a what if, right? We did a what if episode on this.
We did. Yeah. What if they went to different promotions? But those two guys always get compared. Sting is always compared to Hogan and Warrior. And Sting was leaps and fucking bounds ahead of Warrior.
I will say, as a kid in the late 80s, early 90s, Sting and Warrior were my number one and number two favorites. I loved Sting in the NWA, WCW, and I loved Ultimate Warrior in the WWF. Those were my clear one and two. I loved both of those guys, and that's because they had that fucking look, dude. They turn that on. Go ahead, Adam.
It's also weird. Just in prep for this episode, there's one video just asking Warrior, what do you think of Sting? When why did you break up? All that stuff. Saying that one of the eventual factors was that Warrior was considered the strength wrestler, and it was still according to him, in a way, mentoring Sting, just still teaching him grapples and holds. Oh,
Warrior trained Sting.
Oh,
that's according to him. I have to
call so much bullshit on that, dude.
From what I know of Warrior, yeah, that's the case. But yeah, it's more of he had to be called in. Get on all fours. But let's learn how this grapple works and how to escape from something. But
five star Warrior matches, right?
Yeah, with all that technical know-how. Yeah, remember all those holds Warrior would put people in? He was around Stu Hart.
It's always in his head that it feels like, okay, maybe they're good together. They look good together. But I'm convinced from that particular video, he's never going to be able to completely learn. He's always going to be novice or second rate just by comparison. Which totally backfires on him. Because how the hell is he supposed to cover up how Sting is so much more successful than him? And even in that same video, he couldn't.
Well, I'm sure the main reason they split up too is that when Mid-South got bought out, it was, I don't know, do you think Crockett would have really been interested in Warrior in the first fucking place? But Vince definitely fucking would have been.
Oh, for sure.
And that was back in those days where it was like all handshake deals. You know what I mean? Like they might not, the territories, they would just jump territory to territory. They weren't signed into long-term deals or anything. So Vince comes calling, hey, you fucking look like a guy who's going to work up here, you know?
Well, Sting was in a better position originally because, Warrior went to World Class.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a dying off promotion, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So if Sting doesn't get that call from Vince, or I'm sorry, if Warrior doesn't get that call from Vince, where the fuck does Warrior go, dude? He's not going to, I don't see the WCW or NWA wanting him. They've already got Sting.
He wouldn't have made it in Crockett's territory.
There's no way. Vince was his only lifeline out, right?
Yeah.
That was his only place he could really go, and he did.
Luckily, everything
and you're right, unless
lined up to him.
And you're right. Unless they were going to make him a tag team, then you have two guys who are redundant. And one clearly better than the other. And if you made him a tag team, it's like you said, they're the Road Warriors, which they already had.
Right. And in comparison, there's always going to be those Warrior and Sting comparisons. But I think it's really unfair to Sting to compare him to Warrior. And conversely, it's unfair to compare Ultimate Warrior to Sting. Because those are two different styles.
Right.
Ultimate Warrior was more of a power game, whereas Sting was more of a well-rounded. He could do a power game. He could do a technical game. He could do a high flying. Sting was to coin a phrase, the total package.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Way more so than Lex Luger. Like, Sting was the total package. And yeah. when you do, and I'm sure Adam could look it up on Wikipedia, you do a total title count of Ultimate Warrior and Sting, or even Lex Luger and Sting. Sting is going to be way heavier on the titles won over both of those guys.
Oh yeah, yeah, but Warrior made a lot more money in those early years,
and that was just him being fortunate that Vince called him up from World Class.
Yeah, he went to the big time.
He went and he had that WrestleMania match. You can never take that away from him, right? Like, Sting never had that main event WrestleMania match. Unfortunately, yeah. Warrior did. You know, right. and I'm sure a lot of Warrior proponents are going to go to that as the deal breaker, as why Warrior is greater than Sting. Mm-hmm. And while that's
just
not what
because he has that statistic, but
he has a WrestleMania main event under his belt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would trade what Sting had to what Warrior had any day of the week. I would take what Sting had any day of the week.
I think anybody would. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. He had a longer career. He's definitely thought more highly of. Thankfully, Warrior towards the end of his life made amends with WWF and was able to rectify and make things better. But Sting didn't need to do that. Sting did things, as Adam pointed out right at the beginning of the episode, Sting did things the right way. He never pitted companies against each other. Mm-hmm. He never had shit to say about the other company. He's always done things the right way. He's like, and Adam, you'll get this.
He was a pro.
He's the Mike Trout of wrestling. Like, he's always doing things the right way. He's the guy you're going to look to and you're going to respect him because he doesn't have shitty viewpoints like the Ultimate Warrior did, right? Like, I don't want to call him a role model, but Sting's kind of a role model. You know, he always did things the right way his entire career. You don't get the
nickname Icon because, like, it's a good marketing ploy. No, Icon because he embodies it. Yeah,
he earned it. You're right, Adam. And Sting wasn't perfect. He's admitted to bad shit that he did in the late 90s. He's atoned for all of that. He's definitely earned, as you said, Adam, the Icon status for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So it was a long, slow burn with him, really, because he got there in 87, right?
Yeah.
And he ended up joining the Four Horsemen at one point. He became number one contender for Flair's title. He got the boot. But it was, what year was Capital Combat? Was that 91?
I want to say it was 91. Yeah. 91, wait, you are talking about when he won the title?
When he finally won the title.
It was Great American Bash, dude.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Great American Bash. Capital Combat is when RoboCop did the run-in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he was the one. The notorious RoboCop spot was RoboCop came and helped out Sting.
Right.
But that was Great American Bash 91?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it took him close to 4 years to finally win that world title, but he finally did it. And at that point, he was already kind of the top face in the company anyway.
He really was, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. But then it was like, now he's a made man at this point. Like, he is the top baby, you know?
Yeah. The title was a formality. He was already the number one guy. They had to put the title on him at that point.
Yeah. But they really took their time with him. Like, they really, they didn't want to give it to him before he was ready. You know, like, it seemed really, I wish that would happen more now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and that was really an NWA thing. They wouldn't give the hot guy the title in a lot of cases.
Right. Cause at this point it was still the NWA.
Yes.
Right. So,
in 91, when Sting won, they were WCW at that point, full fledged WCW.
Well, but it was the NWA title.
Oh, the big gold belt.
I think you're right.
His first world title was the NWA world title, right?
Yeah.
So that was when still it wasn't Crockett just calling the shots on his own. That was when they still had the championship committee and the whole thing. I mean, Crockett was more powerful than anyone. I don't even know who would have been left at that point. Don Owen and fucking.
By 91?
By 91, there was almost nobody left in the NWA.
Exactly, yeah.
It was basically Crockett, but it was still the old-fashioned NWA at that point. Right. For not much longer, because then he ended up being WCW champ like a year later, right?
Well, and remember, Flair left because he had promised Sting the belt, and they're like, no, you're going to lose it to Luger instead. And Flair's like, fuck that, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's how highly Flair thought of Sting. And Flair was your number one guy. Like, he was the shot caller in NWA /WCW, and he fucking bounced because they told him he wasn't going to drop it to Sting. He was going to drop it to Luger. He said, fuck you guys. I already promised it to Sting, and I'm a man of my word. I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy.
Totally, 100%. Mensch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then at that point, so now Sting's the top guy, but he was actually in sort of a slightly shitty position because all the other top talent left kind gone. Of around the same time.
Gone. The roster got thin.
Yeah. Flair's gone. Dusty's gone. The Road Warriors are gone. Who else has got Luger's gone.
Luger's gone. Yep.
They all jump ship. So Sting's kind of over there by himself with not a lot of major top talent to work with.
Yeah.
So it sort of turned and business was down. It's sort of like a Diesel situation when he was champ. Like his timing was bad. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He was awesome, but his timing was bad. And same thing with Diesel. Like Diesel was champ when he gets a lot of shit for being like the lowest drawing champion they ever had in WWE, but just like business in general was down. It wasn't all Diesel's fault.
Yeah.
So Sting was sort of the same way. Like that was like a real, like a major low point for that promotion in the early 90s.
Right.
But I mean, but Sting was still like, at that point, it's like, I'm going to watch it just for Sting because everybody else I like is gone, but Sting's so fucking cool. I'm still going to watch the show.
Right.
You know, he really held the company together at that point.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah. So he was champ a couple times, and then you get into the mid-90s. All those guys are back. Dusty's back. I mean, Dusty was basically retired. Flair's back. Luger's back. Then the NWO shows up, and he ends up being, which was totally perfect, great booking. You know, that early NWO stuff was so well done, even though I was never like WCW guy or an NWO fan, but they really did it all really well.
It was the rebirth of wrestling, dude. You had Hulkamania.
It really was.
You had the NWO. It was a rebirth of wrestling.
Right, right. And it brought WWE up with it. You know what I mean? It was like
Yes. Rising tide.
They became the big dog, but they brought everything, you know, what is it? A high tide, whatever.
Floats all the boats.
Yeah, it was that kind of situation. And it made perfect sense that he was the first guy to stand up to the NWO.
Yes.
You know, he was the company man, he was the face of the company, and they're gonna come invade. So of course he would be the guy to do that. And that became the thing for a while, you know?
And Sting reinvented himself to do that.
Yes, he reinvented himself to do that. They ended up having a fake Sting. And at this point, Sting kind of started, he grew his hair out and stopped bleaching it.
Yep.
Anyway, you know, he was still Surfer Sting, but he just looked a little different. And, you know, just kind of updated his look. He looked more modern. And they had the fake Sting, and then it was War Games, right? Where the fake Sting wasn't, they convinced everybody that Sting had joined the NWO, and everybody thought Sting had joined the NWO till he showed up in War Games and kicked the fake Sting's ass.
Right, and then he turned his back in that famous promo to the hard camera and was like, fuck you guys, I'm not talking to you, I'm just going to talk to the crowd here.
Yeah,
and he turned his back to the hard camera, and then he bounced. He's like, fuck you guys, you didn't believe in me, you thought I would do bad, so I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And that was really like, you talk about like putting the fans in your corner at that point. You're like, I can't believe you thought that you would turn on me. Like, I can't believe you guys would believe that I would actually do this to you.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. It made you feel bad as a fan. You're like, no, fuck Sting. We love you, dude. Don't go.
Right. Sorry.
And then he started the crow shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was gone for like a year, right?
He disappeared for a minute. Yeah.
Was he hurt? Was he, or was it just like, we're going to take him off TV just to reinvent himself?
If anything, it gave him some time off to heal up.
Okay.
And yeah, you night in, night out, taking bumps, dude. I mean, your body could use a rest from that. Right. And I think all around, it was just a fantastic move, a great call to really build Sting as his next persona of the Crow.
Is this the greatest reinvention of a character of all time?
I can't think of anything better. I mean, Chris Jericho has gone through numerous, like the whole list thing was great.
Yeah.
But that wasn't better than the Crow.
How many iterations? No. He keeps himself in the... in the conversation, but
yeah, I mean, Hollywood Hogan, maybe you could throw that into the conversation of going from like the all-American Hulk Hogan babyface to like, boom, now you're a mega fucking heel and you're still headlining. But that was the deal he drew, right?
It'd have to be the two, right?
I would think Hollywood Hogan and Sting. Yeah. And
Sting. Yeah. Yeah. But even Hogan went back to regular Hogan. You know, he didn't stay Hollywood Hogan. That was 5 years.
Yeah, and Sting has had some variations on Crow Sting, but for the most part, once he went Crow Sting, and exactly, you're building off of that base. He's really stuck with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. He just stayed with that. He was Wolfpack Sting for a minute.
Yeah.
I also thought when he started off, it was like warrior-shaped makeup, where it was just down on the
sheet. Yes, it was.
On the sheet. So
yeah, the makeup evolved.
Maybe that was a callback, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Right. The makeup changed over time. But yeah, and that was fucking cool, dude. I didn't even like the fucking Crow movie. But
it's my favorite movie of all time. So I hook, line, and sinker bought into Crow Sting, dude. I was a huge fucking, and I hated the WCW for what they did to the WWF. Mm-hmm. But Crow Sting was fucking cool, dude. I had to tune in for that.
Yeah, dude, he come out with the trench coat and the fucking bat and beat the fuck out of people. The black
baseball
hair.
Bat. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was cool.
Dude, down from the rafters.
Yes, like you talk about hook, line, and sinker. I was like they fucking had me, dude. Yeah, I bought in fully.
I was still watching Raw every Monday, but between commercials, I was hoping to catch Sting. You know, that
you hope to catch Sting, exactly.
Yeah, yep. Or Rey Mysterio.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean it was awesome. I mean the Crow gimmick, it's one of the great gimmicks of all time.
It is. It is. And it's a perfect reinvention.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of why it always was back then, like Sting versus The Undertaker. It's the greatest fantasy match of all time.
That's why I had it on our list of matches that never happened that should have.
Yeah, yeah. And part of it,
they had it. It was there. It was on a tee waiting for them to take it, and they chose Bray Wyatt instead.
Yeah, they were finally in the same place. Yeah, they were finally in the same place at the same time, and they just didn't pull the trigger on it. And they, I have no doubt they would have the following year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that they were never going to.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
But it was because it's two of the greatest gimmicks of all time, and it was because like the two loyal company guys, you know, like the face of the company. Not that Undertaker was ever necessarily the face, but just
but he was the loyal guy.
Just for his longevity, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. So Sting sticks around until the company closes. He was there the whole fucking time. He was there. He's the only guy, I think, who was there for the entire run of WCW.
He turned off the lights.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was there from the first day.
First one in, last one out.
Yeah, he was there from the first day of the Turner, Turner owning it and naming it WCW till the last episode, and he main evented the last episode of Nitro.
Yeah, and against who? Against Flair.
Flair, right.
H. Who was T-shirt wearing Ric Flair.
A T-shirt wearing Ric Flair. You do what you got to do, right?
Yep.
And that was
the
so fitting.
Was outdoors. I'll give it to him.
Yeah,
it was cold.
And then, like you said, he was on one of those deals when he retired that he was getting paid by Time Warner, not by WCW. So he was still getting paid, I believe, for two more years.
There was no reason for him to go to WWF and put his body through that. He could stay at home and make money. Fuck it. I would do the same thing, dude.
Yeah, he could have done like Flair, because Flair just opted out because he wanted to go to work.
But, yeah, he had to. Flair wanted to do it. Sting was like, I'm going to stay home and chill. I would have gone the Sting route, honestly.
Yeah, and I know Sting talks with WWE.
Smart when those opportunities come. Let your body rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he had talked with WWE about going there before he went to TNA, and he just said that he just didn't think that they had the right plans for him, basically, right? Was the deal? Yeah, he was just like, nah, after talking to him, I didn't really think it was going to go the way I would like it to go.
Yep.
And he ends up going, and I'm sure part of it, too, is there's this brand new company. Let's help build that.
Yeah. And travel schedule, too, has to just be a fucking grind, dude. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, right, because they used to shoot. That was back when they shot TNA. I don't know where they shoot it now. Memphis or something? Or maybe it's in Toronto. But they were shooting it in Orlando. Universal Studios. Right. So he lived in Atlanta. So it's a quick, you know.
But yeah, one soundstage. That's all.
Yeah,
that's
and I think they were taping a couple episodes at a time, too. So it was a really easy schedule for him.
Exactly.
Yeah,
perfect. And that's smart. That's absolutely smart, dude. At that stage of your career, you don't need to do that daily grind, right? You can just do the TNA schedule and be a happy camper. So I don't fault him for any of that.
And then on occasion for a pay-per-view or a random house show, then you have to travel. But on your regular, how convenient.
Right.
Yeah, he had a great schedule. He had a killer schedule. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then at that point, you got to figure. I mean, unless he blew his fucking money, he had to be, you know, fine. You know, he had to have fuck you money at that point.
He was comfortable. Yeah.
So go there for less money, but less work in a place that's going to just work out better for you.
Right.
So totally great move, and he was there until shit. Right.
2014. How long was he there, Adam? 2013, 2014.
I'll check it out.
He had a 2015? Long run there.
I forget if I've said this here. I know I've said it with you, but at least on here, AJ Styles was the Sting of TNA, and they had Sting.
That's true. Yeah. It's a good point.
Like AJ embodied TNA.
Yeah.
Let me
Yeah, I'm not going to go into too much detail about his TNA run because nobody saw it. Nobody nobody watches that shit.
Main Event Mafia, led by Kurt Angle, also with Booker T, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall.
Yeah, that was kind of the biggest thing he did.
Joker Sting.
Even though that was Joker a heel Sting. Faction, it seemed like he was always like the wild card that that everybody still cheered for, just like Rhea Ripley with Judgment Day right now.
Right.
You could be a heel, but going to be cheered for regardless.
Sting's one of those guys, right? Like throughout the course of his career, you could try to turn him heel. The fans weren't buying into it. And you know that you've got something special when the fans will not buy into your heel run. See the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
NWA tried to turn them heel. The fans didn't buy that shit. It lasted for like 3 months. And they were like, we can't change the fans' opinions. And I think Sting was in that class. You know, there are certain guys that, you try to turn them bad and the fans don't allow it. They're like, no, we love them too much. We're going to cheer them regardless. Fuck your plans.
Nobody wants to boost Sting.
No, nobody wants to boost Sting.
Yeah, and exactly. We've got Joker Sting, the other iteration of Pro Sting. It's pretty much like maybe the closest to gloating that he's an icon. He started playing mind games with Hogan and Bischoff because they were heel management. He was able to flip them to babyface.
Right. And he
got to have fun with it.
And kudos to him for putting up with Jeff Hardy in that match and not shitting all over him.
That had to be like the worst. That had to be like the worst day of his fucking career.
But I mean, like, look, Sting's a professional, right? He knows what's at stake for the company. He knows that one of the guys can't perform. And he's going to try to make it look as good as possible without killing the other guy and still trying to make the company look good. And that's what he did.
There was no way to do that.
And that's got to be a low point in his career, right? Is having to deal with that, but he still made it look good for the company as good as possible because he's a fucking pro.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. He went out and handled, he could have walked out.
He could have done any number of things. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
He
went out and
did what he had to do. He got put in a shit fucking position. Yep. I guess it would have been Dixie Carter made the final call on that. She fucked up. She should have never sent Jeff out there. It was an embarrassment. They could have done any, you know, wrestling shows call shit on the fly all the time. They could have come up with something.
Yeah, when they saw him,
but they fucking fucked the pooch and Sting had to deal with it. And he dealt with it the best way anybody possibly could.
Because he's a pro, dude. That's what he does. Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, of course, he shows up at Survivor Series 2014, right? That was Survivor Series, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does that run and whips Triple H's ass, fucks him up, right? Yeah. Yep. And that's his. And it was one of those things we all knew it was coming. And I think WWE was leaking it. We all expected him to show up.
He was in the video game, and you're like, okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't a big surprise, but it was still fucking awesome. You know,
it was still great, dude.
Yeah, it was still kind of unbelievable, you know?
Right, because he had been that guy that was like, I don't need the WWE to justify my career.
Yeah, he's Vince's white whale.
It totally, yes. Yes, but then here he shows up. But he was in the video game, and that's when you're like, okay, he's coming in. You don't cover a guy and have him not be in the promotion when he's still active.
Right, right.
That would make no sense. So you kind of knew it, like you said, but it was still amazing and fantastic to see.
Yeah. And he ends up, all he did was two matches. He did two matches. He did the match with Triple H at 31, which we did an episode on that. You can go back and listen to. And which was a really cool match.
It had what it needed to make it good.
Yeah, it was a very simple match, but there were a lot of bells and whistles, and I loved it.
It was a lot of fun, dude, as a fan of that era of wrestling. To see that played out in 2015 was so much fun.
It made up for it not being Undertaker in the ring. And to an extent,
yes, it did.
And it was just like, whatever, we'll get that next year, you know? And you never would have thought that Sting was going to have one more match at Night of Champions. Fucked his neck up from a buckle bomb.
Yeah,
and I'm sure he had just neck damage already. You know, I don't think it was just that move that did it to him.
Right. It wasn't just what Seth did. It was years of damage. And unfortunately, it all culminated in that match.
Yeah. And then Vince talked him into retiring, put him in the Hall of Fame. And we thought that was it. We thought that was the end of him.
Right.
Until he showed up in AEW. And he ended up having a pretty... I was surprised at how much he wrestled in AEW. He wrestled fairly often. Like, not every week on Dynamite, but, a couple shows a month, he was in the ring.
I don't give AEW a lot of credit.
Yeah.
But I guess he retired from there undefeated.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, that's probably Tony Khan being a huge sting mark.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I'll 100% allow it. I am okay with every bit of that. You chose the right
guy to, if you're going to do that.
It's 100%.
Fine. The one guy where it's
okay. Agree, Adam. Yes, agree, 100%.
Yeah, I think the mentality of you got to lose your last match to put someone over, I think that's kind of... not that there's not a place for it, but I think it's okay dated. To make exceptions.
Yeah, it's dated. You know? It's a dated philosophy that doesn't apply to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
Trish Stratus and Sting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I think sometimes you can win in your last match. So yeah, that was cool that he won his last match. I thought it was smart teaming up with Darby Allin. Because they have sort of a similar look and everything. Sure. I didn't love that Sting started doing the hardcore shit. Mostly because I'm like, dude, you're like 75 years old. Like,
we don't want to see you get hurt. Like,
yeah, I don't want to watch you die on fucking live TV.
Ladder right. jumps and shit, man.
Yeah. But I like Darby, so I thought it was cool that he teamed him up with him. I wish Darby would rein some of that shit in before he ends up in a wheelchair. But I think he's cool. So I liked his AEW run. A lot. I wish I would have watched the last match, but I don't even know why I didn't, because I usually get about one AEW pay-per-view a year. I don't know why I didn't. I should have. That was stupid.
I love that it was a surprise that he won, too, because like you said, Eddie, a lot of guys, those old schoolers, they like to go out on their back. And from what I read, I don't know if it's bullshit or what, but they had to really convince Sting that, hey, we're going to give you a win here and you're going to take it. We don't want you to lose your last match. And like Adam said, they picked the perfect guy to give that kind of a send-off to. Sting 100% deserved it. I feel fortunate that I was able to watch him from UWF all the way through AEW.
Yeah.
And what a career. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody has him on their Mount Rushmore, I can't argue with it at all.
Yeah.
Granted, there was some gap in his career to where he didn't have runs, but you look at how decorated he was. You look at the names that he faced, the names that he beat, the names that he worked with. And I mean, WWE Hall of Fame, that's a no-brainer. He's already in.
Yeah.
A Mount Rushmore, I wouldn't argue it. You know, top four of all time, I wouldn't argue with anybody that puts Sting in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's one of the all-time greats. And I mean, even though I never was a full-time watcher of any of the shows he was on. Well, I was TNA, actually. I watched TNA his first couple years every week. I loved TNA back then, but I was never a full-time WCW guy or anything like that. I was always aware of what he was up to. I saw plenty of his matches. I've seen way more now with Bacock.
Right.
And I mean, yeah. Like you said, one of the all-time great careers. Like, it's hard to, there are very, very few people who come even close to doing what he's done.
Yeah. And you look at the amount of names that flamed out for whatever reason from the late 80s, that era that Sting entered. The guys that have flamed out or the guys that have passed away, and Sting just retired 8 days ago, and he started in 1986. That's an incredible fucking run, dude, to be able to take care of not only your opponent and your matches, but also yourself to be able to wrestle into 2024 and an absolutely amazing career. And dude, it's my pleasure to sit here and talk about Sting because it's been so much fun watching him progress from where he started as one of the Blade Runners,
a little kid,
a green kid in wrestling, to main eventing at Clash of Champions, to becoming the Crow Sting, and then just to be able to retire with a win from AEW with the tag team championship to further decorate yourself in the world of wrestling. What a career, dude. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Sting. Yeah. Sting, we salute you, and I would salute you with a shot of Kahlua, but I finished it.
Pretty much the same, but I'll give you what I got.
Let's do a
mine was mostly
stats.
Melted ice.
WWE, I mean, only two matches, no titles, but class Hall of Fame class of 2016 and two-time Slammy Award winner. Let's see. it just in major promotions with TNA, NWA World Heavyweight Champion, TNA World Heavyweight Championship, four times as champion, TNA Tag Champion with Kurt Angle. Let's see. Also TNA Hall of Fame, class of 2012. Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, class of 2018. I think it was 92 or 91. PWI, number one ranked wrestler of the year.
I was going to ask that. I wonder if he ever got number one in the PWI 500.
Number
he did.
One. Yeah.
In what year, Adam?
91.
I'm trying to find it. It's one of those.
Okay.
But whatever year it was, yeah, number one.
Nice.
Let's
see. I would imagine 97 or 98 he would have gotten number one too.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised that, yeah. WCW United States champion twice. Battle Bowl, Battle Royal. That's winning a match.
The Battle Bowl, yeah. I remember that. He beat Vader.
Let's see. The third ever WCW Triple Crown champion. Oh, match of the year, 91 with Lex Luger and the Steiner Brothers at Super Brawl 1. Most Improved Wrestler, 1988. And it was 92, number one out of top 500.
Okay.
Yeah. Plus many more that can't be fit into this episode. Just one thing I just want to point out. I mean, it's not really a sting statistic. This is more of like an overall a stingtistic. Fuck yes. You know those, like this is for sports in general. There's that whole, this is how long Tom Brady has been playing. You see his first image in a video game back in probably by then it'd be Sega Dreamcast or PlayStation in Madden, or I don't know if he made it onto a Blitz game, but his first iteration and now his most current iteration at the end of his career. Like in sports and performers and characters in general, not a lot of people can beat Tom Brady. Sting can.
You're right, Adam. He goes all the way back to the original NES.
Yeah.
And goes all the way forward to the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Great point, dude. Great fucking point.
So if there could be a first picture, last picture put up, holy shit, what a comparison. Obviously you get to see how technology has evolved since then.
Yes.
But hell of a career if you're able to get from that point A to that point B.
Great point, Adam. Great point. Solid.
And it sounds like that's what we have to say about the icon Sting. What memories do you have of him that we
can I just found Sting's 8-bit music.
Sick.
That's his AEW music.
World Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, the NES version.
I played the shit out of this game, dude. I played the shit out of this game. It was so much fun.
Oh yeah, dude.
Let us know your Sting memories that maybe we didn't touch on in this episode on our social media platforms, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram handle is wrestling_drunk, as well as the alternatives for those. Tell your family, friends, heels, and faces to like, share, and subscribe to our show. Leave us reviews and ratings so algorithms can do things in our favor. Lift us up just like how Sting lifted up so many. In his wrestling journeys. And I forgot what the other shit is. But
that's it, and that's all, man.
Yeah. With Eddie and Scott, I'm Adam, reminding all of you to enjoy a buzz, watch wrestling responsibly, drink like nobody's watching, be an icon to somebody. We'll see you all next time for another great episode. 1, 2, 3. Woo!
Salud, Sting.
Thank you, Sting. The climber.